we present the News Quiz with your host, Sandy Toksvig.
Hello and welcome to the News Quiz. We start with a cutting from the Bedfordshire Times and Citizen read by Neil Sleat.
Breeding tiny micro pigs is a family affair at a home in Ridgemont. Top breeder Caroline Chaplin says, "We've had pigs in our family for many years." Starting with my mother.
And our thanks to Sue Harris for sending that in. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first on my right, Jeremy Hardy and Will Smith. And opposite them on my left, Danielle Ward and Phil Jupitus. Jeremy, who has been encouraging people to take liberties?
Well, it's the Condems. You have to be careful how you say that. I nearly said condoms, which is a Tory tax exile, obviously. But he's being allowed to say quite a lot, Nick Clegg. We kind of thought that he'd just be sent off to get muffins and things like that. Yeah, they've unveiled this 34-page document, which nobody actually voted for in the election, which would be profoundly undemocratic were it not for the fact that nobody reads manifestos anyway. So it doesn't really matter. But what Clegg has announced at a sixth form college is that these... He announced it at a sixth form college because he thought they're rather amusing. That's where people from public school get sent when their parents run out of money. He thought that would be quite a funny idea. And he made this announcement about various reforms, which he said were the most sweeping reforms for 178 years, which refers to the Reform Act of 1832. Now, that's a strange thing to say because following that act, there were far greater reforms. For example, 1918 introduced universal suffrage for men over 21 and for women over 30, and 1928, universal suffrage over 21, and 1969, I think, universal suffrage at 18. But the significance to Nick Clegg of 1832 is that the franchise was extended to people like Nick Clegg in 1832. Before that, it was restricted to people like David Cameron, and then they just added five more posh people to the electoral roll.
Clegg said the document was not just one party's ideas, not even just two parties' ideas. You think, who else is going to have a say? Is the person who does the catering? Which is how many people...
They're ideas that just evolved from love.
I read that one of the main points was that they had to kiss every night to keep the romance alive.
Oh. I like that they announced it in a sixth form college, because if you've got Clegg there, it's going to obviously draw the attention, because he's been on television, and young people have notoriously short attention spans, and so young people are going to go, oh, that Clegg man, they're going to go and look at him. So why you've got him there, well, I dare say they got him to make a few announcements while he was up there anyway. He probably went, these are the most sweeping reforms in 172 years... The Glee-themed disco will be on Thursday, followed on Friday morning by compulsory chlamydia testing.
It is appropriate, because I find him a little over-earnest now, and he's coming across like a trendy teacher who's kind of saying, you know, oh, maths can be fun. I mean, think about it, kids. You use maths when you program the beats for your raps. It's just... I don't like it. And he's also got this completely insane idea of letting us choose what laws we want repealed. It's like, all right then, you know, murder, fraud, indecent exposure and incest. I mean, what's he going on about? That's his job.
There's going to be a mechanism to prevent unnecessary new criminal offences. Yep. What is an unnecessary new criminal offence? Impersonating an 18th century fop in a swimming pool. I don't know what it would be...
The point is that that's his job to sort that out. I don't want to have to think about that. I've got enough stuff to do. I've got to, you know, sort out my iTunes artwork. It's a mess.
I had a look at the activities outlawed by New Labour. These are genuine. They include importing Polish potatoes, entering the hull of the Titanic without permission from the Secretary of State.
That spoilt many a weekend.
And my favourite, causing a nuclear explosion.
Is that not covered by any other laws?
No, apparently not. Apparently they thought, oh, we must take that
breach of the peace, wouldn't it? I'd have thought. They're going to have elected police commissioners. I don't want to vote for a police commissioner unless he's someone who can project a bat symbol into the sky.
I have to say, I wasn't fully paying attention. He announced the outlawing of fingerprinting of children at school, and I thought he said finger painting.
I mean, it's all positive stuff. It's getting rid of ID cards and all that. I think he genuinely believes he can make a difference, but I think deep down we all know that one day he's going to go into a cabinet meeting and there's going to be item 12, installation of giant flaming eye above Big Ben. and it's all going to go horrendously wrong.
I think this is preparation for the cuts, though, isn't it? Because when the round of cuts come in, they can say, but can't you see, we're setting you free in the wild. Too long have you been encumbered by food and shoes. You rather forage barefoot in the hedgerows.
This week, Nick Clegg used his first speech as Deputy Prime Minister to unveil a wide range of constitutional reforms and changes to civil liberties legislation. Clegg said the government was not insecure about relinquishing control. Sounds like the slogan for a brand of incontinence pants. During his speech, Clegg also encouraged people to flick through the pages of the final coalition agreement, not because of the content, but because there was a little stick man in the corner who gets illegally detained at the end. 2 points to Jeremy. Will, why are two Eds better than one Gordon?
Oh, well, this is the Labour leadership battle. Can you call it that?
It's not really. Call it what you like, I think.
Well, there's two Milibands standing. It's very easy to differentiate them. Ed looks like he stole from David's plate when they were growing up. Slightly chunkier. David also looks like a Vulcan, whereas Ed looks like a shaved Wookiee. Other than that, there's really very little difference between them, as far as I can tell. There's Ed Balls, who's a tough guy, is going for it. I mean, any man who can get through school and not change his name from Balls and then not end up living with his mother or being a serial killer is made of stern stuff. So he's up for it. And
well, so far.
Yeah, that might come out during the campaign.
Balls isn't his real name. He changed it from Bollock.
He definitely looks like a melted Alec Baldwin.
Danielle fancies David Miliband, though, don't you?
Ooh. A little bit.
Ooh, you like it.
There's also Andy Burnham. Anyone?
Oh, I don't fancy him.
No.
Diane Abbott. Diane Abbott has announced that she's sitting. I said to somebody, well, where does Diane Abbott sit on the political spectrum? And they said, I don't know, between Andrew Neil and Michael Portillo. Do you not expect with the Milibands that there's going to be another brother at some point? Do you not have a sense that they're asexually reproducing somewhere?
They said they wanted to make it a sort of wider contest by them both entering, so you can choose between a Miliband with a one-syllable Christian name and a Miliband with a two-syllable Christian name. So hopefully there will be a Nebuchadnezzar Miliband who can emerge.
There was a very good moment when Ed Balls was comparing himself to David Miliband. He said, David's been a foreign secretary travelling around the world while I was born in Norwich. I've had a different set of challenges. So true, that one-way system is a complete nightmare.
They're quite impressive when you look at what the Milibands and the Balls have done. The Balls, as he's known in his social circle, the Balls, the Ballster.
No, but this, the Ballster.
I've got to call him the Ballster from now on. No, but they've got, you look at their kind of list of achievements and they've kind of got impressive degrees and they've done important things in the government. Now, I was looking at Andy Burnham, the profile of Andy Burnham, and at one point it just went, he is a football fan and a keen musician. So it just that's real CV padding, isn't it? That's like, I enjoy going to restaurants with friends and the cinema. Just, why is that relevant? It's that kind of drive we have now that politicians and leaders should be accessible and normal. And I don't want a normal, regular guy in charge of the country. I want someone who's absolutely insane, because you've got to be to do it.
Well, congratulations.
Yes.
Ed Balls, Ed Miliband, David Miliband. Oh, it's like some sort of hellish word association game. Is there a Labour MP called David Balls? As if there is, and he stands, I think we could win some kind of cash prize. Now, all the Eds, all the Milibands, that covers it, plus Andy Burnham, John McDonnell and Diane Abbott have all announced their intention to stand for the Labour leadership. No one is surprised, as Gordon made it look like such a fun job. Danielle, have a listen to this.
Please read the letter. I mailed it to your door. It's crazy how it all turned out. So much more. Please read the letter that I wrote.
Danielle, whose cutting humour hit an unwelcome note?
Is this Liam Burns' letter for David Laws? Is that what it is?
It is.
Leaving, because apparently it's traditional for the outgoing cabinet members to leave a letter for the incoming cabinet members. And I wondered what Alistair Darling left George Osborne, because if it was me, it would have been a poo in a bag.
Oh, I think the bag would have been overdoing it.
But, yeah, he left a letter saying, there's no money left, good luck, which is very sporting of him.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have known otherwise.
I didn't know it was a tradition. I mean, in America they do this. Outgoing presidents leave a note or letter for their successor, so George Bush left the letter C. with a helpful footnote, C is for cat. It used to say on the website for the White House, George Bush went to Yale, where he graduated in the top 86% of his class.
You should leave a tape, shouldn't you? An old reel of tape that they put on, and it gives you your mission and then self-destructs in 30 seconds.
What did you think about the note?
It was a joke.
He said it was a joke, but it doesn't reflect very well on him, considering he was Chief Secretary to the Treasury, and by saying there's no money left, he's revealing he took very much a kind of Brewster's Millions approach to running the country's finances, to get rid of the lot.
Well, it does seem like Labour have cut and run. You remember that pensioner that Gordon Brown, Mrs. Gillian Duffy, visited in Rochdale? Apparently she now says she gave him 800 quid and he still hasn't tarmacked the drive, so I think there's...
If you're facing the worst defeat for 70 years or something like that, I mean, your attitude to public spending be, well, you can't take it with you, can you? You might as well enjoy it now.
Obviously, they're going to say that there's no money left. They're not going to come in and go, yep, no tax rises from us. It's going to be, oh, yeah, we had to put VAT up because all they left behind was a packet of rich tea and a photograph of an aircraft carrier.
I think Labour should have taken all the light bulbs and things like that, like they do in France.
Do they do that in France? How do you know that?
Yeah, the French people, because the French people have a stereotype that obliges them to conform to our prejudices about them.
Oh, listen, I heard my first Lib Dem joke, OK? What does Nick Clegg stand for? David Cameron entering the room.
Is that one of Lem bits?
Yeah.
Here's a better one. Yeah. What's E.T. short for?
Don't know.
Because he's only got tiny little legs.
I can see how you went from Lem bit to E.T. The government has accused Labour of pursuing a scorched earth policy in its last few months of power following a handover note from outgoing Treasury Secretary Liam Byrne, which read, I'm afraid there's no money, good luck. Alistair Darling left a note and a bottle for George Osborne. Unfortunately, he's not managed to open it yet, as it had a childproof cap. Other notes left by the Labour government for the incoming government include, sorry about the war, sorry about the smashed up furniture, Gordon gets a bit flighty, and sorry, we're so sorry. Seriously, we're so very bloody sorry. So 2 points to Danielle. Phil, who's banking on barring backbenchers from being too big for their boots?
The 1922 committee is a group of Tory backbenchers who meet every night just after 7:15. they're a committee. My dad's in the Rotary Club and he was on a committee once. They had an anniversary thing and he was on the committee to get the cake made. And, you know, they form the committee, they get the job done, and then the committee is disbanded because the job is done. The 1922 committee have not managed to do whatever it is they're trying to do for 88 years. Mr Cameron wants them to now allow cabinet members and members of the front benches to join the 1922 committee. Previously, they weren't allowed. I think Cameron, by going this route, he's going about it the wrong way, you see, because what the 1922 committee are is they're a group of individuals who can't get their views across, and so what they've done is they have banded together, forming, if you will, a union in order to get their views heard. And so what Cameron should do, rather than trying to change the rules, is just whenever they have a meeting, is send in coppers.
aren't they called 1922 committee because they're made up of people who think it's 1922?
Yeah. They're angry about the anarchy of jazz.
Yeah. One of the senior MPs likened Cameron to Mugabe because of the... And I thought, you can see, if you sort of squint... When... and then hold up a picture of Mugabe in front of him.
Well, he wanted to rush it through, didn't he, by getting the new MPs to agree to it, because all the old MPs don't want him to sit on the committee, because the whole point of the committee is they meet and slag him off. Because they must be furious with him right now, because they put up with all his kind of smoothie drinking and sleigh riding, all that crap, thinking in their heads, once we get in, we can just start hunting foxes, we can let Michael Howard out of the box and he can scare kids again. And now he's teamed them up with an even bigger Nancy than him.
Do you think that all the oldsters have been winding up the newcomers, like the equivalent of sending them out for a tin of striped paint. And they're saying things like, well, if you want to obtain Mr. Speaker's opinion, the tradition is to walk backwards into the chamber and defecate on his lap.
The 1922 committee do generally communicate via the printed medium, because whenever they're on TV or the radio, there is 5 minutes of... anyway. Biscuit crumbs all over the lawn in front of Parliament, and the stench of brandy as they come towards you, as a sliver of pork crackling hangs out of their jowly faces as they're wearing an entire dead fox on their head.
I see you've met my father.
In a bold move to unite his party by really pissing them off, Prime Minister David Cameron has narrowly won a party ballot to open up membership of the Tory backbenchers 1922 committee to front benchers. It's called the 1922 committee because 19,022 is the average age of its members. MP Bill Cash said, I think it's a great tragedy, demonstrating a total misunderstanding of the meaning of the words tragedy, great, and possibly I think. Senior Tories believe the move was suggested by John Major, although Cameron rejected his other ideas of an all-new Cones hotline and seeing if Edwina was still up for it. 2 points to Phil at the end of round one. The scores are Jeremy and Will have got 4 points, but so too have Danielle and Phil. We start round two with a cutting from the Radio Times.
There were complaints that a recent Doctor Who episode was ruined after Graham Norton popped up and ruined Matt Smith's climax.
And our thanks to Desmond Chaudhry for sending us that. Jeremy, why is Willy's fly undone?
This is where we've come to in terms of industrial militancy. Everybody has been broken down. Trade union membership has collapsed. We've got no manufacturing workers. We don't make anything apart from Kendall mint cake and instruments of torture. But galloping to the rescue of industrial militancy are airline stewards and stewardesses. And you've got to support people whose chant is Willy, 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 out, out, out. You just have to. Innuendo militancy has got to be the way forward.
Do you not think it would be easier for everybody if they'd just tried to coincide the strikes with the volcano?
The reason that the strike wasn't allowed, that ballot, was because the union weren't informed properly about 11 spoiled ballots, which just seems really stretching the letter of the law a little bit too far. And every time with these judges' appeals that BA go through, they're just stretching a little bit further. I'm fairly sure that next time it'll be the judge said, well, that is an absolutely appalling font you used on your ballot forms. And if I can just also observe on the ballot question here, it doesn't actually say Simon Says we would like to go on strike. You neglected to do that.
Well, the appeal was granted after 2 out of 3 judges sided with the union. You think, is our legal system now based on Britain's Got Talent? You have to give credit, though, to the Gavin crew. They're brave. The last time BA had a walkout, 15 of them fell into the Pacific. I mean, it's...
I'd like to see braziers on planes, though. That would be good.
Hot nuts, sir.
It looks like next week's British Airways cabin crew strike will be back on after an appeal overturned a High Court injunction which blocked the walkout. Air crew unions protested that taking industrial action was a basic human right, although some seem to have forgotten the other basic human rights of having an edible meal and not leafing through people's belongings. 2 points to Jeremy. Danielle, who obviously cared, sweet FA, about their decision to publish?
Oh, this is Lord Treisman.
Well, he didn't publish anything.
Was it the Mail on Sunday?
Mail on Sunday,
Mail
yes.
on Sunday. Yeah, Lord Treisman was having a chat with one of his lady friends, and he said that he was worried that the Russians and the Spanish were bribing their referees. And this got out, and it's damaged the England World Cup 2018 bid.
How did you feel about that?
Well, I was really upset. I think it's a terrible thing that's happened. So the really important thing that the Mail didn't get to the bottom of is whether the World Cup is a cure for cancer or causes cancer.
No, somebody asked for my opinion. When they explained to me who Lord Treisman is and what the FA is and what the World Cup is and what it means to people, I was outraged.
for 2018, it's been damaged, which is a great thing, because we've already got the Olympics, which is going to be ruinous and appalling. And I cannot cope with two terrible opening ceremonies in a decade. I can't do it. The Olympics is probably going to be beef eaters and bowler hats doing the Road to Amarillo, and then 6 years later, I'm going to have to watch James Corden dressed as Winston Churchill doing a Take That medley. I just... My heart will not take it. I will expire from shame and rage. So, no.
We get more mascots. If we've got the 2018 bid, we get more mascots.
Oh, they're scary looking, aren't
just
they?
As we thought we'd got rid of one-eyed mascots, along come more.
When you're about 12 at secondary school, they show you the video about sexually transmitted diseases. I'm fairly sure that the Olympic mascots are based on gonorrhea and hepatitis C. Here are the evil bacilla underneath a microscope.
I looked at this. This is a story that involves John Terry, Max Clifford, Entrapment and the Mail on Sunday. I thought you only need Nick Griffin to be made the FA chairman and you'd have a full house of repulsion bingo.
Well, weren't you banned from football grounds for shouting, pick the ball up and run with it, you bloody fool?
The chairman of the Football Association and England 2018, Lord Treisman, as well as the Mail on Sunday, have come under fire after the paper published private comments Treisman made alleging Spain and Russia were planning to bribe referees at next month's tournament. Many people are now devastated that England may not get the right to host the World Cup. Personally, I've lost the will to carry on. 2018 World Cup was the only thing I had been living for.
Yeah, that's the sort of thing a Denmark fan would say. They come over here, they host our quizzes.
Gary Lineker resigned from his Mail on Sunday column in protest. It was replaced by a full-page advert of him peddling crisps to fat children. And at the end of the round, the scores are Jeremy and Will have got 8 points, but Danielle and Phil have gone into the lead with 9. Before we start round 3, here is a cutting from the Australian Mercury.
Eltham Leisure Centre is set to become a greener building after a comprehensive renovation. A 250,000-litre tank has been connected to the toilets and will be used to refill the spa.
And our thanks to Rebecca Tullett for sending us that. Will, why is blue not just for boys, but some of their fathers too?
Oh, can I have some kind of clue?
Blue.
Blue. Oh, this is postnatal depression.
Yes.
It can be prevalent in men.
I know, is it awful?
I know, it's terrible. Well, apparently they're more prone to it if their partner is suffering from it. It can, you know, have a knock-on effect. I'm a new father myself, and obviously the women obviously bear the physical and emotional brunt of childbirth, but, you know...
Don't they go on?
I know, oh. I know. I never hear the end of it. I mean, God, I had to put a cot together.
And that's not easy when you're pissed, is it?
I mean... but there are adjustments, you know, and turns out that spending £45 on Call of Duty 2 Modern Warfare for the Xbox is a waste of money, whereas buying socks with bells on so that he can work out where his feet are is a good investment. I mean, I never had that. I know where my feet are. I mean...
Ellie Lee, who's the lecturer in social policy at Kent University, she said, modern men are expected to feel the pain of birth. I think, well, it's easy enough. Bit of grease, a bowling ball.
Slidey bowling?
Don't babies suffer from postnatal depression? I mean, they're suddenly homeless, aren't they?
According to a study in the Journal of the American Medical Association, men also suffer from postnatal depression. Researchers gave 3 laboratory mice a human baby to look after and, and found that after just 6 months, the mice were too depressed to fill in a simple questionnaire. 2 points. So well. Danielle, why is telling a fib in a bib to be encouraged?
Oh, this is the study that's found that in a child, the ability to tell a lie shows an advanced brain. I'm a really bad liar now, but when I was younger, me and my cousins used to tell lies all the time. My favourite one is my cousin weed inside a VHS video recorder and blamed my granddad, who had Alzheimer's disease.
They've established that babies can lie from 6 months.
Yeah.
But they say that crying, when babies cry, sometimes there's nothing wrong with them. And that's a lie. All they want is their mother's attention. What a conniving, manipulative little to want attention from the woman who boy. So it's a bad thing. I mean, of course we want attention from people. Someone phones you up, you don't pick up the phone and say, get lost, I know your game, you're just trying to get my attention, aren't you?
Middle-class parents are now going to boast about how much their child lies to show how intelligent it is. So it'll be lots of, Horatio is the most mendacious, spiteful little fantasist. We're hoping he's going to be a Sky News anchor.
Jocasta's so clever. Do you know the other day she denied the Holocaust? Well, so... Toddlers who learn to lie early on are more likely to do well in later life, researchers claim. When asked for evidence, Dr. Kang Lee, leading the research, said, I started lying at a young age and now everyone thinks I'm a scientist. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along, Mr. Hardy.
I was in Lincoln at the Lincoln Book Festival last Saturday and I saw a headline in the local paper. It said, excrement row raises issue of responsibility. And I didn't read on.
Mr. Smith.
This is from the Shropshire Star, and it's a doorstep conversation between David Wright, who is a candidate, and a Telford voter while out canvassing during the election campaign. And David Wright said, hello, I'm David Wright, your Labour candidate in the election. Voter. Oh, pleased to meet you. I'll be voting for you next week. After all, you can't be any worse than the last bloke. David Wright, I'm afraid I am the last bloke.
Ms. Ward.
This is from Steve Fincher, and it's from the Working for West Dorset newsletter. Do you have a problem with rats? If so, act quickly. The telltale signs are seeing a rat.
Mr. Jupiters.
I'm indebted to Dr. John Bursko of North Lincolnshire for sending us this listing from the Times TV playlist section. Film, Flight Plan, 2005. A widow boards a plane with her young daughter and promptly falls asleep. Thriller. With Jodie Foster.
Let's take a look at the final score. Jeremy and Will have got 12 points, but this week's winners are Danielle and Phil with 14. Before we leave you, here is a cutting from The Guardian.
A court has heard that the Qatari royal family was forced to scrap a housing development plan after Prince Charles pissed in the Emir's ear. That, said Lord Grabener QC, constituted a breach of contract.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Jeremy Hardy, Will Smith, Danielle Ward and Phil Jupiters. In the chair was Sandy Toksvig and the news was read by me, Neil Sears. The chair's script was written by Rodney Crooks, John Luke Roberts and Gareth Quinn, with additional material by Lee Kern, James Kettle and John Hunter. The producer was Sam Bryant.